28, your table I approach. Number 966, before you, Lord, we bow. And number 850, God of grace and God of glory. Following the opening hymn, Pastor Samuel Morshing will lead the congregation in worship. The sermon theme is Jesus fulfilling the law and prophets. The sermon text is Matthew 5, 17 through 26. We take you now to the Sanctuary of Peace Lutheran Church.
Good morning. Welcome to Peace Lutheran Church as we gather for worship. This morning we are blessed to have a baptism during our worship service, and so we invite you to celebrate with us as a child of God is made through the waters of holy baptism. And we love to support and encourage those in the faith, and so we look forward to the ways that we will be able to support and encourage Sydney. There are other ways that we support and encourage one another, and that is, there are some of those ways by joining together in the study of God's Word, and we continue to have a Wednesday morning Bible study that I lead, 9 a.m. over at the Peace Center. And so if you're looking for some encouragement and some help in your faith, it's always good to be in God's Word and to join together with those that are in faith with you also. This morning we have the wonderful opportunity as the first Sunday of the month to remember those children that are heading to Camp Luther. Some are have already been there this summer, and some will continue to be heading there through the next couple months. And so we have our Camp Luther noisy coin collection that will be during our first hymn this morning. Our first hymn is numbered 593. It's a hymn regarding holy baptism. See this wonder in the making. This time, as our parents and sponsors are coming forward with Sydney, I invite the congregation to turn in your hymnals to page 268, and there we find the order of holy baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How are you named? Sydney Luann, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood, yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet you led Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Sydney Luann according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and died. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian Church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the Church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them towards the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are, at all times, to be examples to them of holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Is it your intent to serve Sydney Luann as sponsors in the Christian faith? God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to Saint Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forsake them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. We pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. At this time, I will address Sydney, but as she is unable to yet speak, her sponsors will give her voice. Sydney Luann, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes.
Sydney Luann, do you desire to be baptized? Sydney Luann, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Amen. Receive this burning bite to show you that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marvelous marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which shall have no end.
God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven and in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen.
Amen.
We welcome you.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge in your family and have granted Sydney Luann the new birth and holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's peace be with you. Amen. At this time, I invite you to return to your seats, and the congregation can continue by following our service. And we do ask that you please stand as we continue with the introit. The Lord is the strength of his people.
He is the saving refuge of his anointed.
Save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their shepherd.
I call. My rock, be not deaf to me.
Blessed be silent to me. I become like those who go down to the pit.
Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped.
My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to you. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is the strength of his people. Save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their shepherd and carry them forever.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. In us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I invite the congregation, please be seated.
You out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please join me in reading the gradual?
Return, O Lord, how long have pity on your servants. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, from everlasting to everlasting. You are our God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to please stand as we continue with the Alleluia in verse. According to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus speaking says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, unless heaven and earth passes away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. I invite the congregation to be seated, and those children that are present may come forward for a children's message. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are you doing today? Good. I'm glad to hear that. Today we heard from the Old Testament reading in Exodus. We heard God giving rules that we know as the commandments to the people of Israel. Do you guys remember how many commandments there are? There are 10 commandments. That is correct. There's 10 commandments that God gave to his people. And some of them are commandments and even made into some of the laws that we have in our society. You shall not kill, right? That is one of the commandments. And we have that as part of our society's laws and others also. Now, do you have other rules that you have to live by in your house? Yeah, or are there rules that you have to obey when you're at, say, grandma or grandpa's or other people's homes? Yep. And what happens if you don't follow those rules? Can you say that a little louder? There's probably punishments, right? Ooh, there's some penalties, like at school even, right? Yeah, there's rules to follow. Do you guys always follow the rules? If I ask your moms and dads or your grandma and grandpas if you always follow the rules, what would they say? No, not always. You know, I didn't always follow the rules when I was your age either. But I have a question. So your parents, do they punish you because they don't like you, or your teachers or grandparents? Even when you don't break, when you break the rules, do they not love you? Or do they love you? That you think they love you, even when you break the rules? Yeah, I'm sure they do. Are they kind of sad that we've broken the rules? Yeah, do they want you to do better? Yeah. And is that similar to God? And for you and me in our relationship with God? Does his love for you depend on you keeping all of his rules, all the commandments? Is that how God will love you, by keeping all of his commandments? No, that's not how God's love depends upon. God loves you even when you do not keep his commandments, and when you need to ask for forgiveness, right? And will God forgive you? Yeah, God will forgive you even if you break his commandments, even if you aren't obeying and being obedient to your parents or other commandments that get broken, right? And God, he forgives you because he loves you. He loves me. He loves everybody here, doesn't he? and he showed us his love by sending Jesus. So it's important to remember that God has given us, yes, he's given us these commandments, but it's not because the commandments that he loves us, but rather it's his love that gives the commandments. Because if you follow them, life has a way of being just a little better, you know. Because when we get in trouble, do we like being in trouble? No. Do we like having the punishments? Is life better without the punishments? Yeah. And it's even the same thing with God. And he wants us to follow his commandments so that you have a good relationship not only with him, but with your neighbors, with your family, with your friends, with your classmates at school. That's why we have the commandments. Because God wants you to have a good relationship with him and with other people. So I invite you to join me in a prayer to God, and we'll pray with our congregation and our friends in echo prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your commandments, which help us live life, with you and with our neighbors, Help us see your love in Jesus, and know that you love us forever, in desire for us to live with you, for all of eternity, We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up. And there are some, well, when we do the right things, there are times where you get not punished, but you get some things that you might call a blessings or rewards. And coming up and talking is one of those things that we like to reward you for doing. So our congregation at this time gets to continue with hymn 567. Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, our sermon is based upon the text from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is the Sermon on the Mount, containing the Beatitudes, and they're some of the most treasured words of Jesus, some that many are able to recall. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How wonderful those words are from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, especially when we can see ourselves as poor in spirit. When we see ourselves as mourning, to know that that will not continue, but rather it will be changed. And then, though, it gets a little uncomfortable when we get towards the end of the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. That's not so comfortable, is it? Persecuting you, uttering evil against you on the account of Jesus. And in those situations, it says, rejoice and be glad. What? I don't usually rejoice when people are uttering all kinds of evil against me. It's hard to rejoice when I've been reviled. But yet that's what Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. Why should you rejoice? He says, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Not exactly the most comforting words. Our reward is great in heaven. Well, that's all right, but that's kind of far off. We tend to live in the here and the now, and that's uncomfortable to be persecuted. If that doesn't make you a little uncomfortable, well, then today's readings that we heard, they are intended to make you less secure in yourself. How many of you have ever done the wrong thing? How many of you have ever sinned? How many of you have ever tried to hide that, maybe from mom and dad or grandma and grandpa or maybe even a spouse? I saw every hand going up, as well as they all should. And there are times where we've done something and they don't know about it, right? And we've gotten away with it. Or have we? Have we really gotten away with it? Even if mom and dad don't know, even if grandma and grandpa don't know that you're the one that ate that cookie out of the cookie jar? Have you gotten away with it? No, we don't. Sometimes we don't get away with it because there's a little nagging feeling inside that says what we have done is wrong and we need to confess and to repent and ask for forgiveness, right? How many of you have had that happen where you've gotten away with it, nobody knows it's you, you could get and walk completely away from it scot-free as far as everybody else is concerned, but that voice inside says, no, that's not right. And so we confess and ask for forgiveness. Because that little voice is correct. We have been guilty. And the way to find freedom from sin and guilt is not to hide and bury it, but rather to be forgiven. Sometimes it seems as though people get away with doing the wrong things in our society. We have our laws, right? And our laws say that if you break them, then these are the penalties. And yet, there are people who have broken the law, and have they received the penalties? No. They got off on some legal technicality. Everybody knows that they're the ones that are guilty, and yet, because the process did not proceed in the proper way, in the proper events, the penalty is not given to them. Are there any speeders in the congregation? Anybody who's gone over the speed limit? Oh boy. How many of you have gotten a ticket every time you went over the speed limit? It isn't every time, and we seem to find ourselves doing it quite often. And we're guilty, and yet, hey, there seems to be no consequence. It's what it seems. And yet, is that the way it is with God? When we sin, when we've done the wrong thing, just because others don't see it, just because we don't receive a fine, we haven't been imprisoned, are we okay with God? Not according to what Jesus says here. Jesus, speaking of the commandments that we heard from our text in Exodus in the Sermon on the Mount, says, "You have heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders is liable to the judgment." If you have actually killed someone, you're liable to the judgment. Well, I don't know of anybody in this our presence today who has actually killed somebody. Maybe in wartime that has been the case, and yet for those that are here, we generally are not those that are labeled murderers, those who have killed. And yet, Jesus says, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." It's not just the actions that you and I take that are the sins we should worry about. It's our thoughts, our attitudes, the hate that we may have, the prejudices, the coveting for others' property or possessions, the attitudes, and even, Jesus says, the words. Whoever says, "You fool." I don't know a lot of people that go around saying, "You fool," but there's quite a few other things that get spoken that certainly depict that sort of attitude. That, "You fool, I'm going to just write you off with these words." And yet, Jesus says, these are things where you are liable to the hell of fire. You and I, the entire world, is still under the commandments that God gave to his people that Moses delivered to the people of Israel from Mount Sinai. Yes, the Ten Commandments are what God expects of us. Jesus, he came into the world, and they saw him, and they say, "Look, it's Jesus. Listen to what he says." We can tell that he's different than others. We hear from him good news. He's the one that says, yes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What good news it is. But it's not because of what you and I have done. And it's not through the law that we obtain these blessings. It's not because of the works of our hands. And the laws that he says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. The law, what Moses have given, the prophets that we have, that call us to turn and repent from sin, from idolatry. They're all still there. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus came not to erase, not to eradicate them so that there is no longer a law. Because without the law, we certainly would live in a world full of chaos. And that is not what our God designs for you and for me. He is a God of structure. Just look at the heavens, how one day leads to a next, a season to the next. Rain comes, plants grow. It is by his will that these things have been made and continue to live in his creation. He has not come to abolish the law, to get rid of it, or the words of the prophets, but he's come to do what you and I cannot do. He's come to live in obedience to the law and the prophets. He's come to drive 55 miles an hour in the segments that require you to drive 55 miles an hour all the time. He's come to show love to his neighbor rather than grumble and say, I don't know what he's been thinking. He's come to do what you and I could not, to live a perfect life so that you and I could be set free from the sins that we have committed. Today, we were able to witness Sydney being set free from the sins that she has committed and will commit in her life, because the waters of holy baptism, combined with God's name, do just that. They free us from all of our sins. It doesn't erase the law. Doesn't say the law no longer exists. Rather, it says, you have fulfilled the law. You have kept it because Jesus has kept it, and you are clothed with his righteousness. God sees you not as a sinner, but through Christ, he sees you as his righteous child. No laws have you broken in his sight. And as God's precious child, heaven awaits you. Life everlasting with the Creator waits for you, because Jesus has paid the price for your sins. He has washed them away by the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary. The law and the prophets, they haven't been erased. We don't get away with doing it. We are blessed to be washed clean of all of our sins by Jesus Christ our Lord, who has fulfilled the law and the prophets in your stead, in my stead, in the stead of every human being. Jesus lived perfectly in accord to God's expectations so that you would have life everlasting. And having been washed clean, we are filled with joy. We are filled with hope in a world that seems to be crumbling all around us. We see the hope that God gives, the joy that we have for our forgiveness, for the forgiveness that he gives to others. And we look to speak about that joy. Others need to hear this. They may have been fined for breaking the law. They may have been imprisoned. They may have had that guilty conscience admit what they have done. And they need to hear that there is forgiveness. They are loved. That you and I, we love them as brothers and sisters, forgiven by God our Heavenly Father, with the hope of life everlasting. Go today freed from guilt of your sins. Go today knowing that it is not the works of your hands, but rather Jesus Christ, his fulfilling of the law that brings to you peace, joy, and hope. In Jesus Christ, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard our hearts and minds firmly in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Filled with boldness and confidence, at this time we turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, whose perfect righteousness covers our sin and whose innocent suffering and death frees us from the prison of everlasting death. Lord, in your mercy, God of all concord, by the death of your Son, you reconciled the world to yourself and made peace between God and man. Give us your spirit of reconciliation, that your people may live together in forgiveness and humility. Lord, in your mercy, send laborers into your harvest, O Lord. Preserve your ministers among us, devoted to your word and to prayer. Give many servants to your church, that neither the preaching nor the care of your people may fall into neglect or disregard. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you will that we live a holy life and love our neighbors as ourselves. Give us your Holy Spirit and teach us to honor authority, protect life, cherish marriage, respect possessions, defend reputations, and be content with the gifts you give us. Guide and bless all fathers and mothers, pastors and teachers as they bring up children in wisdom and in favor with God and man. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Holy Father, you have given us your own Spirit in our baptism into Christ. Defend us from all spiritual attacks. Guard us in body and soul. Help those afflicted by any adversity, especially Rick, Glenn, Wayne, Leon, Tracy, Linda, and Doug. Lead them to renewed strength and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, in the Holy Supper, you forgive our sins and bind us together in your communion of love. Grant that we, too, may gladly forgive the sins of our brothers and let no division arise among those gathered at your table. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we continue with the offerings. So whatever you, with that others, would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You once revealed your name to Moses in the burning bush, and through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, you unveiled the mystery of your holy name in the Trinity of person and the unity of being. Grant that we, who have been baptized and instructed in the triune name, may faithfully eat and drink of your Son's body and blood, and worship you in spirit and truth, O Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This blood is the New Testament in my